New York Times reported that gaps in international law cause sexual assault to be a frequent occurrence on cruise ships. Because the floating cities don't really adhere to one country's or another's laws, it's hard to really investigate the claims. And mostly because there's not really access to law enforcement. You mostly have the ship's security at your disposal. Now, Miami actually reports that they are called to investigate sexual assault reports on cruise ships about every other week, which that's a lot if you think about it. And those are only the ones that are actually reported. Now, what happens when someone goes missing? And I mean like disappears without a trace. Well, in March of 1998, a family of four embark on a cruise, a family vacation that is just the trip of a lifetime, visiting multiple Caribbean islands, enjoying the carefree lifestyle that the cruise ships provide, and, you know, just to just enjoy life. Now, on the fourth morning of their trip, their dream vacation turned into an absolute nightmare. Their daughter was discovered to be missing. The family, of course, panicked, and they frantically started asking crew members and other guests if they had seen her. And they actually asked the crew, the head of security, to not let anyone off of the ship. Their pleas were ignored. It wasn't until 7:50 a.m., over an hour later, when the crew finally paged Amy Bradley. But the calls went unanswered. A search of the common areas was performed, but no sign of Amy. Her mother went to find the photographs that the crew's photographer had taken, and those too had vanished. Now, what happened to Amy? Well, there's quite a few different theories that have been brought up over the years that she's been missing, but I'll tell you the creepy details of this case, and you tell me what you think happened. This is the creepy case of Amy Lynn Bradley. Welcome to another episode of Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces. I am your host, Cassie Opea. Please forgive me this week. Life kind of was life, and I wasn't able to get the episode typed up like I normally do, so you'll probably see me looking over to the side to read off of my lovely crazy notes here. You'll probably hear a few page turns as I turn the notebooks stuff. But I still wanted to bring this to you in a timely manner, and I just had to, so I apologize for looking all out of sorts. Don't forget that you can find me every Friday with new episodes of the creepiest and spookiest content. And if you sign up on the Patreon or the Anchor page, you can find bonus episodes every other Tuesday, merchandise discount to the Wiccan Fae shop at pizzaandpigtails.com. And that is good for every purchase, not just one here and there, not just your first one, every purchase. Yay! My way of saying thank you. And you'll also get, depending on which tier that you sign up for, they do start as little as $5 a month. You will get kind of a nice little thank you swag box with Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces merchandise. Don't forget that if you would like to support without subscribing, because sometimes money gets tight and you can't commit to that monthly contribution, I have a Cash App and a Venmo, and just buying merchandise also helps. Also, following on social media, liking, sharing, commenting, that gets me in that algorithm that nobody can understand, and I'm pretty sure it changes all the time. Once I feel like I'm finally getting used to it, it's a totally different thing. But also, if you are a small business like myself, or a big business, because I don't discriminate, everyone is welcome here. I do have some ad space coming up on future episodes, so reach out to me at creepycases.spookyspaces@gmail.com, and I will send you all of my lovely packages, and we can get that worked out. So now let's get started on one of the most perplexing missing persons case that I have ever researched. Amy Lynn Bradley was born May 12, 1974 in Petersburg, Virginia, to Ron and Eva Bradley. She had a younger brother, Brad, who was 2 years younger than she was. She attended college at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia, on a basketball scholarship, and she actually graduated in 1998 with a degree in physical education. To celebrate her recent graduation, Amy actually decided, after a little bit of persuasion, to join her family on a cruise vacation before starting her new job at a computer consulting firm. Now, despite being a former lifeguard, Amy actually had a fear of the ocean. But she was excited to take the trip of a lifetime on Royal Caribbean's International Rhapsody of the Seas, where the family would be cruising around the Caribbean islands for a full, blissful week. I would actually love to do that, but this story kind of scared me, and now I don't want to go on cruise ships anymore. No, the vacation started off as your typical vacation. Ron, Eva, and 23-year-old Amy, and 21-year-old Brad boarded the ship in Puerto Rico, and from there, they traveled to Aruba. Now, Amy was actually very reluctant about going up to the ship's railing, but they told her, you know, come on up, we'll hold you, we'll make sure you're okay. And so she put her fears aside, and she, you know, decided to partake in the ship's distractions. Now, on March 23rd, the ship docked just off the shore of Curaçao, a Dutch Caribbean island in the Netherlands. Now, it was just another ordinary day on board. Amy and her younger brother, Brad, decided to stay up late that night and go dancing at a Mardi Gras-themed nightclub on board. They were dancing while enjoying some adult beverages, as one does, and taking in the ship's band named Blue Orchid. Now, Amy actually chatted with a few of the band members and ended up just kind of having drinks and dancing with the band's bass player, Alistair Douglas, known as Yellow. So they kind of danced and chatted a little bit, but he left about 1 a.m. And so Chris Fenwick, a videographer hired to kind of film the activities for a memory video that would be sold at the end of the cruise, he actually got some footage of Amy and Yellow dancing and laughing and just having a no worries time. Now, around 3 a.m., the siblings decided to call it a night and head back to their family's cabin. So the ship's computerized door lock system shows that Brad swiped in at about 3:35 in the morning, and Amy followed about 5 minutes later around 3:40. They decided to sit out on the balcony and chatted a little bit before bed. And Ron, their dad, woke up, and Amy actually explained to him that she hadn't been feeling the greatest. She was a little seasick. So she was just going to hang out and sleep on the balcony to get some fresh air. So around 5:30, Ron woke up and Brad had gone to bed, and he could see Amy asleep on the deck chair. And he told multiple sources that he could see Amy's legs from the hips down. She looked like she was resting comfortably, and he said that he dozed off back to sleep. Well, the balcony door was closed, because if it hadn't been closed, he would have gotten up and closed it, is what he stated. Now, just 30 minutes later, around 6 o'clock, is when their entire world turned upside down. Ron told Unsolved Mysteries that something woke him up. He wasn't sure what, but maybe it was just a father's instincts that something just wasn't right. When he looked out on the balcony, the door was open about 14 to 16 inches, and Amy wasn't resting peacefully anymore. She was gone. Ron said that he had a funny feeling because it was unlike Amy to be up that early, especially if she didn't go to bed until probably after 4. Like, he woke up and she was sleeping around 5:30, and then woke up again at 6 and she wasn't there. So that's not a lot of sleep in between those times. Plus she had been drinking, so that's also, probably cause to sleep a little more. But Ron looked around the cabin. He checked Amy's room, but she was nowhere to be found. And he stated that her cigarettes and her lighter were missing, but everything else was actually still there. All of her other belongings, even her shoes, were still in the room. So Ron began to worry because Amy would have never left without telling them or like leaving a note as to where she was going. And so he set out to kind of search the common areas of the ship, but Amy was nowhere to be found. Around 6:30, Ron went back and woke up Iva and Brad, letting them know that something was wrong and Amy was missing. Now, the family reported the case to the onboard crew and actually begged the crew to make an announcement and not let any of the 2,000 passengers off of the ship until Amy was found. She actually told NBC News that she had feared someone had taken Amy and left the ship with her. So she was very, very panicked, as I mean anybody would be, and frightened. And but her desperation was ignored, and they said it was too early to make a shipwide announcement, and they lowered the gangplank and let people off the ship. Around an hour and a half later, almost 7:50, they finally made an announcement for Amy to come to the purser's desk. And by that time, the majority of passengers had already left the boat. People are already, this is just, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. People are going off to their excursions. People are going off to meet tour guides. People are going off to be where they need to be, or they're just going off to get as much of the time on the different islands as they can. Now, Eva told Unsolved Mysteries that she became even more frantic because she knew if Amy was in the position to hear the announcement, she would have come to the desk immediately. She continued on saying that she had thoughts that someone had her in a room and she just couldn't get free to get to them. So the family just refused to believe that Amy left on her own. They said Amy was not the type to just leave or run away. She was excited about her new job. She was excited about a new apartment. She had a dog, a precious bulldog named Daisy. And the family feel that Amy was taken by somebody. And with the crew refusing to lock down the ship, it would have given plenty of time to whisk her away and disappear into the crowd. Now, finally, between 12:15 and 1 p.m., the crew staff did a search through the ship, but they couldn't find Amy anywhere. Now, some sources say that they only searched the common areas, and some sources say that they did a full sweep through the common areas, staff rooms, passenger rooms. They searched everywhere. However, there was no sign of Amy on any of the 10 decks or 999 rooms. So I found this to be kind of weird because it says between 12:15 and 1 o'clock. So you're telling me that it took you only 45 minutes to search 10 decks and 999 rooms, plus common areas, plus the back areas, the staffing areas, all the hidden little areas. And this was almost 4 or 5 hours later too. So even if something did happen, like if she was taken, like I hate to say it, but she's gone, you know, like there's no finding her. But I would say that it just impacted their chances of finding anything drastically. Like, I don't understand why you would wait if somebody comes up to you and tells you that. And I get it. She's an adult. She can do as she pleases. However, if somebody comes up to you frantically trying to find someone, like why wouldn't you jump into action immediately? Now, with no sign of Amy on the boat, it was then that they thought maybe she fell overboard, or maybe she jumped overboard. Now, signs point to this being a very small chance. Why would the door be open if she was going to jump or if she fell? Amy was a trained lifeguard and a very strong swimmer, so even though she avoided getting close to the balcony, which is another point to make, they were docked close to the shore, so even if she did, there's a big possibility that she would have been able to swim to shore. Also, they did a 3-day search by the Coast Guard from the Netherlands, and it was 3 helicopters and a radar plane. No evidence of a body in the water, and I mean, her cigarettes and lighter were gone, and they actually know that her clothes were changed too. So she would have come back inside the room at some point to change. Now, the family then turned their attention to the staff. They claimed that certain people on board had been showing Amy extra special attention. They also said that they wouldn't post photos that she was missing because they didn't want to upset the other passengers. And I totally understand. People are, you know, here to have a good time. They're here on vacation. They're doing their thing. However, not posting photos is kind of crappy because you still want to find this person. And what if somebody saw her? What if somebody, you know, may have seen her on the ship? Maybe somebody saw her get off the ship. Somebody, you know, maybe we could have found out what happened. Now, Eva told Dr. Phil that there was a tremendous amount of attention toward Amy from crew members, and Ron actually spoke of an encounter where a waiter asked him about Amy because they wanted to take her to Carlos and Charlie's restaurant when the ship docked in Aruba. Now, Carlos and Charlie's restaurant in Aruba is actually where Natalie Holloway, an 18-year-old American woman, that's where she disappeared from in 2005. Well, it was where she was last seen. So I shouldn't say that's where she disappeared from, but, you know, it's where she was last seen. Amy told her dad that she was adamant about not going with them, saying that they gave her the creeps and they were just very aggressive in asking her to go out with them. Now, more questions arose when Eva went to get the photos of Amy taken by the cruise director the night before she went missing. The cruise director remembers taking these photos. However, they were nowhere to be found. It was almost as if someone was trying to get rid of evidence that she had been there, or maybe someone had taken them for ulterior motives. And I don't mean dirty kind. I mean, if you are possibly human trafficking someone, maybe you want photos to share of said person, so that people can see who you're talking about and what they look like. Just my opinion. I'm not saying that's what happened. Now, Brad decided to search for Amy in Curacao, but there were no signs of her. By the time the FBI was alerted, a lot of time had been lost, and the FBI actually felt the search of the ship was not as thorough as to originally be believed. Plus, the ship's security and crew, their timeline differs from the family's. But also, it differs from witnesses and other passengers. They say that the family hadn't notified them until about 7:35 a.m., but other witnesses say that they actually saw the family running around asking people if they had seen Amy and asking them not to lower the gangplank and just way before 7:30. So come on now. Now, the family began to lose hope of any leads. Until they found a witness named Crystal Roberts, who told the family she saw Amy early that morning with the bass player from the ship's band. Crystal told Unsolved Mysteries that she saw Amy and the band member walk up, like over and up the next deck above her, but then she saw Yellow coming back by himself. Two other passengers actually told Ron that they had seen a woman matching Amy's description going up in the elevator, and she actually had cigarettes and a lighter in her hand. Now, Brad said when they were dancing at the disco, Yellow, that is, tried to dance a little too close, and Amy had to tell him to back off a little bit. Yellow also made a comment to Brad that kind of put him off a little bit. He said that Yellow told him that he felt bad about what happened to his sister. Now, Brad stated that this was said to him when only the family and security really knew anything was actually wrong. And of course, Yellow denies any involvement, and there has never been any evidence to connect him. He also says that, his room was searched and that he was interviewed, and so nothing has ever been officially there to connect him. So I'm not saying he's guilty or that he did anything, just that there was some suspicious, movement on his part. Now, when the crew was adamant that they needed to move along for the sake of the other passengers, Amy's frantic family decided to stay behind in Curacao. They did some investigating on their own, but the case went cold and they eventually had to go home, anguished by the uncertainty of Amy's fate and feeling alone in their fears that something sinister had happened. Because, of course, I'm sure it's no surprise that the crew is trying to claim that she fell overboard or that she jumped overboard, because they're trying to cover their own behind. And it's just one of those things where even if something happened on board, they're going to try to then, I don't want to say cover it up, but they're going to try to smooth it over and possibly offer some things, maybe a settlement, maybe, something like that. Now, a disturbing theory emerged when Steve Reeves, editor of a cruise line trade publication, told Unsolved Mysteries, "There's a rumor and a legend surrounding slavery in the Southern Caribbean." He said it's not uncommon knowledge in the maritime community that young white women are considered to be very desirable to foreign procurers. That's a quote. Now, Eva believes Amy was a perfect target. The search for Amy officially ended on March 29th. And although her body was never found, Amy was legally declared dead 12 years later. Now, many people feel there's more to the story, and there has to be more to this story. There's got to be some kind of cover-up going on. And there have actually been numerous alleged sightings of Amy over the years. A taxi driver in Curacao actually came forward not that long later. I think it was some sources say it was 24 hours and some sources say it was just a few days. But he said that he was approached by a very frantic woman who ran up to him and told him that she urgently needed a payphone, but then she ran off before he could give her any directions or, pointer towards a phone. In August 1998, about 5 months later, a Canadian engineer, David Carmichael, claimed to have seen Amy walking down the beach in Curacao with two men. And he said that there was this woman who was constantly just trying to get his attention until he lost sight of her in a nearby cafe. Now, he said the woman's tattoos, which was a Tasmanian devil spinning a basketball. She's got a sun on her lower back, a Chinese symbol on her right ankle, and a gecko on her, around her navel. He said that the tattoos, matched what was described as to Amy's tattoos. He said at one point he was 2 feet away from her and he was 100% positive that this was her. He said that he was haunted by the encounter because she looked frightened and it looked like she was going to say something, but one of the guys motioned her away and gave him a menacing look. Amy's family actually wrote to their congressmen, foreign officials, and even to the White House, but they got no answers, they got no help, so they actually hired their own private investigators. Now, in January of 1999, a U.S. Navy officer claimed to have seen a woman at a brothel in Curacao. He said that she told him her name was Amy Bradley, and she was being held against her will and not allowed to leave, and she begged him for help. He didn't report it because he feared that he would get in trouble for being at a brothel. He only came forward after he retired and saw her photo in a magazine. Now, that lead didn't go anywhere, but, this is almost a year later. And this is why we speak up. But, I guess some people, I get it. You don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to have your career at stake, but you could have saved someone's life, possibly. I don't know if anything, I don't know if she's still alive or not, and just kind of lost to the world of, but, this was 1998, so, while we're hopeful, sometimes you have to be a little realistic. Now, in March of 2005, Judy Moyer reported seeing Amy in a department store restroom in Barbados. Now, she said that the woman entered the restroom, followed by three men, who actually threatened her if she didn't follow through on a deal. Now, the men left, and she approached the woman, and she said that her name was Amy from Virginia. But before she could get any more information, the men re-entered and led her out. She said that she actually called authorities, and they put together some composite sketches. And then a couple of years later, The family was actually emailed a photo from someone who does some investigating, I will say that. And they said that they found this photo posted on a website that advertised all-inclusive erotic vacations in Caribbean. And it was a photo of a woman named Jazz, but it had a striking resemblance to Amy, and this actually gave them hope. And of course, I'll post the photo. But there was an episode of Vanished where an independent forensics expert had an informed, they said that this was an eerie photo, but it was a perfect match as to what Amy would look like. I don't want to say aged a little bit, but her hair's longer, as you can see. The cheekbones are a little bit the same. The mouth is, if you look here, I mean, it does. I wouldn't say, this is exactly looks exactly like her, but I would say that it. I mean, there is a resemblance. Her mother says that it's definitely not the Amy who was the carefree, fun-loving Amy. She looked harsh and tormented. But they definitely then felt that Amy had been sold into human trafficking. Now, there was also a Navy SEAL soldier named Frank Jones, who said that he was an experienced soldier and he performed rescues of people who were being held against their will. And he said that he had seen Amy being held captive in a housing complex surrounded by barbed wire. He said that he would need $210,000 to create this search and rescue mission. But he made up the story and he was actually found guilty of defrauding the family for almost $25,000 and defrauding the National Missing Children's Organization of over $180,000. He was actually sentenced to 5 years in prison. There was actually a jawbone that washed up in Aruba in 2010, but for some reason they didn't do any kind of DNA, which I don't understand why. However, the bone is human and it is said to be of Caucasian origin, and why they haven't done any testing on the jawbone just baffles me. Now, Chris Fenwick, the man who did the footage of the cruise, he actually shared his story, his side of events that happened with him. And he said that the night that he found out Amy was the woman who was missing, or she, the last time she was seen was, or not seen, but she was out at this club, he actually went through his footage. Found the footage of her with Yellow and gave it to who he thought. Well, he gave it to a Mike McCord, who said that he was a good friend of the family's. Now, Mike McCord was actually Ron Bradley's boss. And instead of giving the video to the family, he gave it to ship security, who then claimed that they never got it. But they did call him and say that they needed the master copy. And he says that he doesn't give those out and that no, they can't have it, but he can give them a copy, yada yada. But he said that he actually saw Yellow and he kind of gave him like a weird vibe and he was kind of creepy. Once again, not saying Yellow was involved in anything, but you just never know. He tends to pop up a lot in this story. Now, although the family is no closer to the truth, there are quite a few theories that have been floating around since 1998, since Amy went missing. There is a theory that she was kidnapped and either sold into human trafficking or she was sold into slavery in the Caribbean. There is the theory that she was murdered and either her body was taken off the ship or she was thrown overboard. But I feel like after a 3-day search with as many helicopters and a radar plane, I feel like there would have been some kind of body or something. I know the ocean is a big place and water can carry things far and fast, but I still think that something would have been found. Some people think that she fell overboard, which is, I mean, it's a possibility, but I don't know if it's what happened, because if she fell overboard, it wouldn't have been off of her family's balcony, because, you know, that's already been shown. All of her stuff was brought in, well, her cigarettes and her lighter. I can't say all of her stuff. But she had come back inside. Now, whether she went back outside or not, but at the same time, people said that they saw somebody matching her description, like they saw her, like, and this was multiple people. So I don't think that multiple people would have just been like, yeah, I saw her, yeah, I saw her, yeah, I saw her, if they didn't see her. But especially to be seen with somebody who, you know, then came back a little bit later by themselves, that's a little fishy. But then there is the theory that she committed suicide and jumped. I still think we would have had, you know, just some kind of proof of a body. Plus, I feel like if you jump off of a cruise ship or you fall off of a cruise ship, I've only been on a cruise one time, so I don't know how they're set up now. But I feel like the lower decks, like you're gonna either hit a lower deck or you're gonna hit a lifeboat or you're gonna hit something. So I feel like that would have been more of a noticeable thing that would have happened. Plus, where is the footage? Like, are there no cameras, like security footage cameras that could be looked at to, and I know it was 1998, however, security footage was, you know, a thing at that time. So it just makes me wonder, like, was there no security footage on this ship to have maybe been able to track her movements that morning, that night, that, you know, just like, if you can look at things to see, yeah, just security footage. Why does that not exist? Like in this story. Now, Brad was actually the last person to speak to her the night before her disappearance, and when he said goodnight to her, Brad actually told Oxygen, quote, "Myself and my parents have had to endure a lot of sadness, but the last thing that I ever said to Amy was, 'I love you,' before I went to sleep that night. Knowing that's the last thing I said to her has always been very comforting to me." End quote. I can't even imagine what this family has gone through. If I lost one of my sisters or if I lost my daughter, I think I would be, I mean, I don't even know how you recover from that. I'm sure you don't ever fully recover. But tell me your thoughts. What do you think happened to Amy Bradley? Do you think she was murdered and thrown overboard? Do you think she fell overboard? Do you think she committed suicide? Do you think she was sold into slavery, human trafficking? There's so many possibilities. But tell me your thoughts below in the comments. If you've actually heard something that I haven't stated here, please throw that in the comments too, because I'm always wanting to find out more information about the cases that I post. And of course, sometimes research is limited. But if you know or have heard anything, I'd love to hear it. Join into the conversation and tell me how you're, or tell me what you think. And on that note, I will see you next crime. You've been listening to Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces, a Pizza and Pigtails production, created and hosted by Cassie Opea. All episodes researched, written, and edited by yours truly. Don't forget, you can find new episodes of the creepiest and spookiest content every Friday on your favorite podcast listening platform, and now YouTube as well. Subscribe to the Patreon page or the anchor.fm page for as little as $5 a month for bonus episodes every other Tuesday, a merchandise discount, and a Creepy Cases and Spooky Spaces thank you swag box. You can also support without subscribing through the Cash App and Venmo. Don't forget to follow along on social media, especially the Facebook and the Instagram page, at creepycases.spookyspaces for all future news and updates related to the podcast, and maybe see some content that's not featured here. Like, comment, and share with your fellow fiends to get that conversation started. And on that note, I'll see you next crime.